It's June the 8th in the year of our Lord 2015, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Law and Gospel. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, your host. I'm all by myself on Mondays because we go over the readings for the following Sunday, which is the third Sunday after Pentecost. Tomorrow, Marsh Smith will be with me, God willing. And the readings for this coming Sunday are from Exodus 17, 2 Corinthians 5, and Mark chapter 4. Before we begin, we do have a seminar. And if you want to know where it's at, here in West St. Louis, go ahead to longgospel101.com and hit seminars. And then the whole seminar is not only explained, but there's a number of questions that we hope to answer during the seminar. It's a Saturday afternoon, and we encourage you to be there. One of the things I like doing at seminars, now this one on Saturday is going to have a lot of videos. We don't normally do videos on the radio because nobody can see them. So on these lengthy seminars, this will last about 3 hours with free refreshments, and it's free to get there too, and walk in, no cost. We are going to be able to do something that I love doing, and that's by using videos. But in Bible studies, sermons, we don't use videos. And in short seminars, I don't either. But I always like beginning with questions, particularly if I have a Lutheran audience. Because so many of these questions, I tell you, people think about them and they give an answer because, well, I'll explain why. Well, here's my question. On Judgment Day, are you going to heaven or hell depending on whether or not your works are good or evil? Is that the criteria that God is going to use, looking at your works? Now, I guarantee you, I tell people to put their hand up if they think that's what's going to happen. And in a Lutheran seminar, hardly anybody puts their hand up. And then I like saying, well, let me shock you, because what I just said is actually a Bible verse. What? Well, it's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he... Now, you think it would continue, for what he believes. But no, listen. For what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, I can see that being put in a Mormon magazine or a Muslim magazine or a Jehovah Witness magazine, but this is part of the Bible. The Bible is very confusing. It is. I thought a 5 or 10 year old could read the Bible and be saved. Oh, yes, that is true. I would say 70-80% of the Bible is pretty clear, and one can read the Bible and come to faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. What I'm talking about is that other part of the Bible, that if you don't have a pastor, you're going to be confused because it appears that the Bible is contradicting itself. All I need to do is put Ephesians beside the 2 Corinthians. In the Ephesians passage, we are saved by grace, through faith, not on account of works, lest anyone should boast. There it is, clear and simple. Does it not appear that this 2 Corinthians 5 passage contradicts the Ephesians passage? Sure does. And I can give you many verses. In fact, I went through a period of time on Mondays where almost every passage to be read for Sunday appeared to contradict Lutheran theology. Now, none of them did. But why do people think they do? Because they are not trained in understanding law and gospel. I have a good friend who does wonderful sermons, but he cannot explain to another pastor, because I've asked him, what would you tell him so he could do wonderful sermons? And he's unable to do that. I'm hoping to have a webinar ready near the end of this month. We'll be announcing it. It's just not for pastors, but also for people in Bible study who are leading it or really want to understand what a sermon is, as to the various ingredients I think need to be in the sermon to make it a truly Christian sermon. But we'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. The fact of the matter is, there appear to be a lot of contradictions. In fact, C.F.W. Walther, when he began those lectures on long gospel, he had 25 evenings and, well, no, it was more than that, actually. But he had 25 theses he was looking at. 21 of them were ways in which pastors confuse long gospel. Well, I like one way is somebody asks, boy, I just don't feel close to God. And the pastor says, well, you need to come to more Bible studies. You need to come to worship. You need to read your Bible. Did you notice the answer of the pastor? It was all law. Things that you need to do. There was no gospel in any of that. And you see, when a person has a problem, who thinks that, boy, I'm not close to God, you use the gospel to overcome that problem. And the gospel, of course, is God hasn't moved. He's within you. Look what he's done for you. Depending on the particular, shall I say, identity of that person or why they're saying what they're saying, you use different Bible verses to give them the comfort and let the Holy Spirit then use those Bible verses to bring them comfort. So let's get back to this strange verse that on Judgment Day, each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. I believe that. But how do we understand that? How can we understand it in such a way that it doesn't contradict the multitude of other passages that say works don't count? Faith is what gets you to heaven. Unbelief is what sends you to hell. One of the most important principles of Lutheran theology, it's one of the solas, which is Latin for alone or only, is Scripture alone. We don't agree that the magisterium of the Lutheran Church needs to be listened to if they can't back it up with the Bible. We have a what's called the Commission on Theology and Church Relations that just put out a document on how to regard science and religion. Can they talk about the same items? Now, the reason this document is so good is there's Bible verse after Bible verse backing up what they say. So when you read a passage and you say, boy, that seems to contradict. Like in Mark 10, rich man comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, give away everything that you have and come follow me. Is Jesus serious? Well, yes. From a long gospel point of view, if you want to get to heaven by your works, you got to get rid of all your sin. Because only a sinless human being. Of course, later on when the disciples asked Jesus, who can do this? Jesus says, oh, well, by the way, with men it is impossible. Well, if it's impossible to do that, why does Jesus mention it? Because the old Adam and the unbeliever all believe that you can take credit for your salvation. So Jesus says, oh, you want credit for your salvation? What do you have to do? Well, just obey the commandments perfectly. And then Jesus points out ways in which you are not doing that. See, that's the purpose of the law, to make you deathly afraid of God, because you know he holds judgment over you. And that is why Jesus says, with men it is impossible, but not with God. What you and I cannot do, that is in doing enough works in order to be saved, guess what? God does. By sending his only begotten Son into the flesh, and therefore one is saved. So let's get back to Scripture interpret Scripture. I said this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul begins that, you know, if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, in other words, if our mortal body dies, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan. So in the body that we have, we're groaning, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Boy, that's what Paul is saying. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. You see, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, realized their nakedness, and they had nothing to offer God to offset their sin. Now, here's the verse I want you to listen to. For while we are still in this tent, that is, in the body we now have, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Ooh. Does that ring a bell? Remember what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What is Paul talking about? That this mortal may be swallowed up by life. Is it something that we prepare? Listen to the next verse. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God. Now the next point is so important. Who has given the Spirit as a guarantee? Guarantee of what? When did you receive the Spirit? In water baptism, the Apostle Peter makes very clear, you get two gifts. The gift of the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what does that Holy Spirit do? He guarantees that heaven is your home, even though you are a sinner. Now, we still haven't answered, then why are we judged by whether we're good or evil? But we're getting to that. So he says, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. That is a really critical phrase. In fact, I dare say that that is the reason that Luther wrote some of the theses in the Heidelberg Disputation in 1518. He distinguishes the theologian of glory, or I like to say the theologian of self-glory, from the theologian of the cross. I talked about that yesterday in the sermon at Emmanuel, that the theologian of the cross looks to the cross to see why sins are forgiven and why some are not forgiven. We talked about the distinction between blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and blasphemy of Jesus. By the way, I'm going to be sending that sermon out. So if you want to receive a free copy, you go to longgospel101.com and you sign up on the first item you see, which means you give me your name and your email address. Near the end of the week, therefore, I'll be sending this out. And if you're, it's free, your name and email address, you will receive a copy of this sermon in audio. Getting back to our text. We walk by faith, not by sight. The theologian of glory interprets God by his experience, by what he sees, by the environment, by nature. Whereas the theologian of the cross understands God from the point of view of what? Oh, I'll tell you. By the word of God, which we then trust. Now, even Paul says we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For, and now here comes the verse, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Okay, on judgment day, God is going to look at your works and see whether they are good or evil. That's how most people understand that verse. No. That's not what that verse says. what that verse says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done on the body, if there is any good or if there is only evil. Let me use Matthew chapter 25. Sheep and goats. Do you notice that the sheep appear to be going to heaven because they do good works? Liquid for the thirsty, food for the hungry, visit the imprisoned. But a careful reading of that shows that is not the reason they're going to heaven. The reason they're going to heaven is because they are blessed and they have inherited the kingdom of heaven as sinners. In fact, that's exactly what is being said there by Jesus in that wonderful passage, that parable of what we call the law, the sheep and the goats. So why does God mention those works? Because they're not good works that I do all by myself. He's pointing out what was referred to in the Bible as fruit of the Holy Spirit, which only can be done through motivation of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you become a Christian, from God's point of view, you are being recreated, like a new creation. Oh, how about a Bible verse? It's in our text from 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Verse 17. What does that mean? In a sense, your new man does works like Adam and Eve did. Your interest is no longer yourself. Your interest is now God. See, that's a really critical point. Because when your interest is God, you're motivated by the Holy Spirit, and you still do good works. But you're doing it on the basis of your love for Jesus Christ. It's a spontaneous thing which the Holy Spirit works within you. And that's why we walk by faith, not by sight. Because if we look by sight, well, the only thing I ever see in me is evil works. Because even when I see a good work, like being on the radio or preaching a sermon or doing a Bible class or helping somebody who's thirsty, etc., my old Adam always does it out of self-interest. Maybe they'll get to like me so much, they'll start listening to my radio program and my numbers will go up. We're rarely aware of our love for Jesus behind many of our works because we can't do something Jesus can. We can't read our own hearts. But Jesus does. And that's why the sheep are so astonished. When do we do all these things? They don't remember them. But God does, because he can read the heart better than we can. Because we are new creations. So on Judgment Day, what's going to happen, God is going to look as to whether we have good works in the sense of fruit of the Holy Spirit, or whether all our works are evil, which only an unbeliever does. Because every apparently good work that an unbeliever does is always out of sinful motivation. I'm reading Christopher Hitchens, famous atheist who has died, who's discovered that about everything he wrote is wrong now. But he talks about a section in his book where people accuse atheists of not being moral. I'm giving serious thought of talking about that on Wednesday. Where if you are believing in evolution, where there's no need for a God, I'll tell you the things you should be able to do, regardless of the laws of the world. We'll maybe talk about that on Wednesday, Insight Wednesday. But right now, what Christopher Hitchens says, he says it's ridiculous to say we're not ethical. Because when I help someone out, maybe I help them with food or something, and here's what he said. This is exactly what he said. it makes me feel good about myself. You can't get to a deeper level of sin than doing works out of self-interest. And he doesn't even recognize that. He may think he's doing it for the other person. But if, for example, it's not going to make him feel good about himself, he's not going to do it. You take that criteria, and boy, oh boy, you can understand why there are so many abortions, why gay marriage is even thought as possible, because it makes you feel good about yourself. You want to use that as your ethical way of life? We're going to talk more about that, I'm almost sure, on Wednesday. But at this point, we're making a very clear long gospel distinction. Under the law, there is no work that you do that earns your way to heaven. Under the gospel, there is no work that you do that earns your way to heaven. Under the law, it's impossible. And under the gospel, there's no need. Why? Because Jesus earned your way to heaven. He was your substitute, took upon himself the punishment of your sins, so that when the pastor indicates that you are forgiven, as I've said 1,000 times, it means you're no longer held accountable for your sin. So where do these good works come in? They do not come in the area of justification, which is the Christian teaching, how God justifies guilty people and declares them free from their sin. That is, they're not sinless in their works. They're sinners. They're free from the consequences of eternal condemnation. You still have temporal consequences. That doesn't go away. But the eternal condemnation is gone. So, why do we do good works? Well, that's like saying, you get married and you love your spouse. Why do you do good works? You do it out of love. Your parents. You find out that, let's say, your father and mother had a heart attack. What do? You rush to them. Why? Because you want to be with them during this time. It's pretty simple to understand that true love and the actions only come after you have that relationship. You don't do it to get the relationship. So also in Christianity. What God is looking for are the good fruit of the Holy Spirit that always come about if you are a Christian. Now, you may not know what your last fruit of the Holy Spirit is, but I'll tell you one of them, that is, and that's faith. If you trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior, guess what? That is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because such faith is given to us. We cannot, by our own reason or strength, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, except by the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can't believe how many people don't go to church. They're called nuns, N-O-N-E-S, because the churches they were going to were not feeding them. They still may be religious. They still may be looking for something. And that's why, particularly, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has so many adult instruction classes. Because before you can join our church, we want to make sure that you understand what you're joining so that you can have the comfort of water baptism, the assurance of the Lord's Supper, be delighted in the absolution from the pastor, because a proper understanding of these under the gospel has one purpose, and God has set up that purpose, and that purpose is none other than to comfort you. Law and gospel. We're going to talk a lot more about that at the seminar this coming Saturday. It's free. You want to know more about it? You go to lawandgospel101.com. Let me say that slower. Lawandgospel101.com. And there'll be a bunch of words up there. Hit the word seminars. And when you hit that, then everything will be explained to you. Free of charge. Free refreshments. And particularly, it's in Wildwood. If you're at all a neighbor there and you haven't found a church home, Pastor Steve Reardon is a tremendous pastor. I just talked to an individual who just joined the church after they heard one of his sermons. You really need to be there. I'll be preaching on Sunday, but Pastor Reardon will be there in case you want to talk to him. On tomorrow's Law and Gospel, we've got two hymns, Creator Spirit, By Whose Aid, and O God, O Lord of Heaven and Earth. Pastor Mark Smith and I will decide which one we do, and we look forward to talking to you tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.